you need immediate help, please call the National Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline at 1-800-662-HELP. Welcome to Clean and Sober Radio, brought to you in part by Jefferson University Hospitals and Thomas Jefferson University, providing excellent clinical and compassionate care in the Philadelphia region, a proven leader in healthcare and education since 1825. And now, here are your hosts, Gary Hendler and Mark Sigmund.
Hey, hi, everybody, and welcome to the show. Clean and Sober Radio features real people with real stories about addiction to drugs and alcohol. Mark, what's new this week in recovery news?
So we have some concerning news. It's coming out that Afghanistan now is the fastest growing maker of methamphetamines, according to the UN Drug Agency. Basically, what they're seeing is since the United States left, the economy's been poor. They're seeing a big uptake in methamphetamines coming out of Afghanistan because the plant ephedra actually grows naturally in Afghanistan. So right now, Mexico is the biggest producer. There's two, actually. And Mexico does not have the ephedra plant. Besides this, they're also seeing a huge increase in the production of heroin. It was like a 32% increase since the United States pulled out of Afghanistan. And so we're starting to see things catch up, and they're starting, a lot of these drugs are going right into Eastern Europe and East Africa right now.
Did you say ephedrine?
Ephedra.
Is that an antihistamine?
Ephedra is actually a stimulant. And again, it comes from the ephedra plant, which ephedrine, I don't know if that's a synthetic version or if that's made from ephedra, but they use it sometimes for asthma
and
things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also in some of your allergy drugs.
Right. And some of these antihistamines do speed you up. You have to be careful.
Yes, they do. And you notice if you go to get them, they make you sign and give your driver's license because they're worried about meth production because meth is made from that stuff.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah. What else you have?
Secondly, everybody, I just want to say, Thanksgiving, and we're talking about the holidays today, but just to know, be real careful because Thanksgiving is the deadliest holiday of the year for driving. It's followed by 4th of July, Labor Day, and believe it or not, Christmas Day has been found to be the safest holiday. More than 2,410 people were killed in roadway accidents on Thanksgiving during the past 5 years. For instance, in 2020, 515 died. However, slightly more than 35% of Thanksgiving roadway fatalities involved drunk drivers. The volume of cars on the roadway combined with this makes it a really deadly day. So, we just wanted to get the message out there from Clean and Sober Radio. Be super careful on the roads on Thanksgiving Day.
Absolutely. Look, when we come back from our first break, we're going to talk about the pitfalls of holiday season, what to look out for. Linda E. is joining us. We're very happy about that. Get involved with this conversation for the next hour at 1-888-728-9941. Let us know what you're doing for this holiday and what things you're going to watch out for. We'll be right back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
A cancer diagnosis can knock the wind out of you. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health can help. Our brand new Asplund Cancer Pavilion brings you 86,000 square feet of cancer-fighting science for truly comprehensive care. Backed by the strength of an NCI-designated cancer center. Call 1-800-JEFF now. The Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Abington Jefferson Health. The power to out-science cancer.
Hey, this is Mark Stein from the classic rock band Vanilla Fudge. Keep on rocking, and so good luck to everybody, and all the best.
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
And we are heard on these great radio stations, WWDB in Philadelphia, WGAC in Augusta, Georgia, WAECAM in Atlanta, Georgia, and WNBRAM in Tampa, Florida.
Nice to see us back in Florida, Gary.
Yeah, it's nice. Hey, first of all, Linda, welcome back to the show.
Welcome. Hi, everyone.
I also want to acknowledge we have a new sponsor, Gaudenzia Treatment Centers. based out of Pennsylvania. They're probably the longest running successful treatment centers in the United States. They've been around for at least 50, 60 years, I think. So we're glad to have them aboard. All right, so we started to talk about this is holiday season. This is a real dangerous time for all of us. And Linda knows, Mark knows, and I know. You got to be really careful where you go. And, you know, just because somebody wants you to come to their house doesn't mean you have to go. Even if it's a family member, you got to be real, real careful. That's one part of it. The other part I want to talk about is if you know a loved one, you have a loved one or a friend, how you need to act knowing they might be joining you at your house. You know, it's like a two-part thing. Everybody's got to be real smart about this, right?
Yeah, they really do. And I'll tell you, as a counselor, I work with a lot of people in early recovery, and they are nervous. They're nervous about what do I do over Thanksgiving? I have a family party that's coming up, and how do I deal with this? So this is a big, big issue, Gary.
And you know, there's 21 million Americans in recovery.
Wow.
21 million. There's probably more than that. And, you know, there are expectations coming from yourself. What should I do? Should I go? My mother wants me to come there. And then, you know, the mother or the father should say, hey, little Johnny's coming over. Should we serve alcohol? You know?
Yeah, there's so much to it. And, you know, especially a lot of people go over and they're people that they drank with heavily over Thanksgiving. So sometimes people don't even know the situation they're going through and are offering them beer and things like that. So we actually in group did a lot of planning for Thanksgiving. And some people say just don't go. It's not that easy for a lot of people. We talk about having a real careful plan, an exit plan. What kind of supports do you have there that maybe know what's going on at Thanksgiving dinner? You know, and we do a lot of preparation, Gary.
Yeah. Linda, obviously, you're in recovery and you have family members in recovery. What are you doing this Thanksgiving?
We're going to a friend's house, and those friends are half of them are sober and half are in Al-Anon, Nor-Anon. So,
that's safe.
I mean, it's sober. I think there might be a bottle out for one of her cousins. I have never seen anyone take a drink there. It's right in our neighborhood. We're all very cognizant of it. You know, I used to tell my clients, like, ask your family if they could go one holiday without serving. And when they come back and say, my family won't do without drinking, I say, well, maybe you have to rethink about going. Do they have your best interests at heart? Or maybe they're going to be a pitfall or a trigger for you to use again. Or can you bring a sober friend with you? Or can you sandwich it between two meetings and have your sponsor on call? We think of all these great things we tell our clients. And I had a gal that just could not go back to her house. I mean, she went back one day, like her apartment was closed or the house she was living in, the sober house. She had to get out for, I don't know, were they treating it or something. And she went home to take a shower and change her clothes. The bathroom, beers were lined up in the bathroom. Oh, so you never know. You just can't always go home. And there are sober things going on at clubhouses. We'll talk about that later. But sometimes you have to say no in early sobriety and do the best thing for you.
We have one of our buddies on the line. Mark Willig's on. Mark, welcome to the show, buddy. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay, guys. It's so nice to see everybody and hear everybody. And hi, Linda. And hi, Brad and Mark.
What's
and,
up?
You know, I wanted to call early because I'm actually on my way to a dialysis session.
Yeah.
And I need to tell you that holidays, you know, we call the night before Thanksgiving, we call that amateur night. And that's been a phrase for many years because the people that are driving drunk, they are so stupid. They don't know what they're doing. They're amateurs. There's no need to get in a car and, you know, commit vehicle homicide. When you get clean and sober, I need to tell you that life changes. And sometimes it changes for the best. And sometimes it just changes. I mean, I've gone through all these things, and I'm still clean and sober. And, I just started a month ago dialysis. I go for 12 hours a week. It's not great, but maybe someday I'll get a kidney transplant. But for right now, I'm doing dialysis and I'm staying clean and I'm getting, I had my home group come over my house last night for a meeting because I can't get there, which was so super. And that's the way to, like a Friendsgiving, to stay sober and clean on the holidays. You don't have to think about what you did to embarrass yourself, to embarrass your family, to embarrass your friends. I've done it so many times, head in the mashed potatoes, pushing the food around like I was hungry and didn't eat a thing, going out for ketchup because we didn't have any, and coming back 3 hours later high as a kite because the Acme that I went to didn't have that brand. So we all have those stories, but my story is that I went through a lot of things that I am still in recovery. I will always be in recovery just for today. Listen to these stories that are being told today on the radio. Listen to Clean and Sober Radio because I do every week, and I love these guys that are in that studio, and they know it, and they're my lifeline, man. I can talk to any one of those people whenever I need to. I can call them whenever, and, I'm friends with all you guys and
lady,
huh?
And lady,
she's one of the guys.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I know. Mark, I want to say something. You are an incredible, incredible human being. I mean, you have been through a lot. You've been sober, and you are now going through a lot. And the audience needs to know that you don't have to make it up an excuse to use because you're not doing great. And Mark, you're one tough cookie, man. You really are.
I'm just a squirrel trying to get a nut is what I'm doing.
Well, so you're a nut trying to get a squirrel, sort of.
I'm a nut trying to get a squirrel and, squirrely guys. But
no, all kidding aside, Mark, you're a really – people need to listen to this, what you're just saying. Besides, it's holiday season – you're going through a lot of medical stuff, and you're still not going to pick up.
And the holidays aren't going to stop because I'm on dialysis. Why should they? Who am I? I'm just a guy trying to get another day clean, and that's what I'm doing. And hopefully at 12 o'clock midnight, I'll have another day. And, I hope you guys have a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving, and stay safe. And I love you guys like a fat kid loves candy, man.
Well, we love you back, and we're rooting for you and sending good karma and praying for you that you get on the other side of this as quickly as possible.
Thanks, brother. I will talk to you guys soon.
Sounds good.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Take care, Mark.
Yep. Feel better, Mark.
See you guys.
Take care.
Take care.
Bye.
I mean, he really is incredible. You know that?
He's a guy that everybody around here in Pennsylvania knows from AA because he has helped so many people. My son is one of them that knows him and says what a big help he was in early sobriety. Very helpful guy. Very sober, very grounded. Love him.
What an attitude. Positive. I don't know if I could. I admire him.
Me too.
So much.
Me too. And it's no joke going through this dialysis. We were talking about it through, before the show, and then just working a recovery program at the same time. And I'll tell you, Mark sure does know everybody.
He does.
Remember? He knows.
We all know him.
Everybody from Gary's past.
Yes.
He knows everybody. I mean, he really does.
Yeah. And everybody likes him.
And he is hilarious.
Yeah,
he is. I mean, he really is.
So, all right, so let's encourage people to call, and we want to hear stories today, how they're going to handle themselves, 1-888-728-9941, and we're not going to wait until 25 after 3 to acknowledge people that are responding to us. So let me just start to say who's watching us right now. Jim Meehan is watching us. Hey, guys. Bob Moeller is watching. Kathy Wolf Collin. And Kathy says to us, all three of us, all four of us, happy Thanksgiving. Bob Moeller says, hey, guys, we are lucky that some clubhouses have alkathons like the 552 Clubhouse in Haverford, Pennsylvania, outside of Philadelphia. That starts Wednesday at 6 and goes through Thursday at 7 p.m. That's important. Kenny Willig is watching. That's Mark's brother, I'm assuming.
I'm not sure.
And Anna Zafer is watching from the Philippines. And your buddy Louis Montana is watching.
Lou Montana.
Michael Brown is watching. Carlos Ricardo is watching. Our buddy Larry Mayer. Let's see. Yeah, that's what I have right now. So come on, guys. Call us. Let's talk. Let's have this an open dialogue. And let's talk about what's going to happen at Thanksgiving and beyond.
I have to say, the ghosts of Thanksgiving past. You know, Mark said that about what we did in the past.
Yeah.
I can remember, I didn't have a big family, so when we got together on Thanksgiving, it was a big deal to see people. And I remember doing embarrassing things many, many times.
Like what?
Yeah, going out and not coming back, kind of what he said,
what
like
Mark
I'll run out
said,
for something.
Yeah.
But one of my best friends who lives in Florida, I talked to her the other day, and she said, where are you going for Thanksgiving? I said, I'm going to my girlfriend's, but I'm cooking like three or four things. And she said, don't leave the giblets in the turkey. They came to my house in 1982 here in Wincote when I first got married, and we had a big, big meal. I must have had 25 people over, wasted, completely wasted. And when we got to the carving the turkey, her husband carved the turkey, and he found the frozen giblets still inside. That's how
wasted. Oh, no.
I was.
That's not good.
It was so embarrassing.
I thought you were
so
going to say there was a pound of pot in there.
I mean,
well, I probably smoked
probably
that,
was.
But who knows? But it was so embarrassing. And it's funny, other people don't forget that stuff. That was 40 years ago, for goodness sakes. And she's like, don't forget the giblets. So I'm like, okay.
That's fun. That's funny stuff. So, but there's a lot of stuff that happens that's not fun.
Right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know what? I got some really great emails this week.
Okay.
Maybe we can start. Pam T. from Fort Lauderdale. Two of my kids are in recovery. Am I being selfish having alcohol in the house over the holidays, which means booze in my house for over a month? My question would be, and I wrote this down so I wouldn't forget. First of all, do you normally have booze in your home? And are you being selfish? Guys, what do you think?
I mean, I would think that it's not a good idea, you know, if you have two kids in recovery and just because, you know, and a lot of times, like, people don't realize it, you know, they don't realize, I'll give you an example. My father used to still ask me for a glass, if I wanted a glass of wine, like 15 years into sobriety, you know, but it's not a good idea. You don't want to trigger them, you know, by having booze in the house. And if you can do without it, that's the best case.
What do you think, Lynn?
I think if you can't do without it, what I used to say to these parents of my clients was, can you do without it for the two holiday days? And if they can't, maybe they have to look at themselves. I know a few people in AA that got in because their kids got in. So maybe look at yourself. If it's that important to you to have it, you have to look at you maybe. And, you know, but it's not a great idea for your kids. They're in recovery. They're trying to work a program. And they don't need to be tempted, triggered, anything else. They might be triggered enough just from it being a holiday. So having booze in the house just adds to it. We don't recommend it. If you can go without it, it would be the best thing for your family.
Do you think if you're the family member who is not in recovery, is it a selfish thing for them to put having booze on their table over Thanksgiving over the welfare of either their friends or their kids who are in recovery?
I think if they know it and they know about it, you know, it's selfish. But, you know, a lot of times, like I said, people don't, maybe they're not educated about it enough, you know, and they, or what you see is this, sometimes it's family denial still going, you know, the family denial is still going. And my kid's going to be okay. It doesn't matter. You know, they'll be okay. So, but yeah, absolutely. There's some selfishness if you've been educated.
I remember Marjorie and I threw a party down the shore. And there were, good amount of people there, and there was one, I'll tell you who it is after the show. When he got there, I saw him looking at the table, and there was no booze. Mm-hmm. And he actually said to me, if I knew there wasn't going to be any booze there, I wouldn't have come.
Yeah. And bye, don't let the door slam you in the butt.
Amazing.
I mean, you know, we're in the middle of having a sober wedding for my son and his fiance.
Right.
And I said, oh, there will be people who won't come because it's on the inside of the invitation. It says this is a sober event, so people won't be surprised.
Good.
We're making up some mocktails with names on them. We're going to do all this fun stuff. But I thought there'd be people who wouldn't come. Every single person RSVP'd.
Nice.
Nobody had a problem. And with one cousin who might have a problem, I said, what's he going to do? And my other cousin said, oh, don't worry. He'll probably have a gummy or something. Like, he'll be fine. Don't worry about him. But out of all the people we're inviting, I would say 80% are sober people from the program, his friends.
You know, I do think that the people that don't say stuff like that, I don't think they're necessarily addicts.
Right.
I think they're just so used to a social situation with booze that it might even become awkward for them because they need that to socialize.
Some people do, for sure, who aren't addicts. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. Yeah. Hold it.
So I wish people would call in and ask these questions.
Yeah, this is important. You're right, Linda. Give them the phone number.
The number is 888-728-9941.
Very good.
And also, you know, if you're sitting out here and it's a holiday and you're feeling depressed or you're feeling alone, call us. You know, it's like the Clean and Sober helpline.
Yeah.
Because another thing that comes up a lot during the holidays and is grief. You know, people have lost loved ones and the holiday season comes up and it's a huge trigger for them. An internal trigger, as we would call it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you're struggling out there and you're having a tough time, feel free to call us.
Frank F. from Philadelphia. We finally got an email from Philadelphia. My son, who is new to sobriety, tells me, meaning probably his father, his father, he has no problem with booze in the home. And by the way, he lives with us. Well, of course he's going to tell you that, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
he wants to get that when you're not looking or something.
Or he's in denial himself, right? Like and people get uncomfortable because I hear a lot of people say, like, I don't want to be a burden to other people and tell them to change the way they do things. And it could be a case like that but I'll tell you, it just get rid of it. Get it out.
Absolutely. You know, if you're just listening to us and you want to watch us do the show, go to Facebook to our page, Clean and Sober Radio, and we can watch what Linda, Mark, and I are doing here. Just like these folks. Larry Mayer. Did I mention Larry?
I can't remember.
Okay, Larry's watching. Will Keenan is watching. Mike Shoemaker is watching from Tennessee. And, you know, if you're a chicken and you don't want to call in, because you must be a chicken if you don't call in, but sober, hopefully, go to our Clean and Sober radio page and give us some of your thoughts on the holiday season and what your anxiety level is. When is Thanksgiving? Next week?
Next Thursday.
Next Thursday.
Do you guys still get like anxious around Thanksgiving and around the holidays? You know, maybe not just like anxious, like feeling like drinking or something, but like in general with all of it coming up, do you still get anxious?
Mm-mm. Well, I don't celebrate Christmas, which I know is a big deal. I get that. So I'm sure there's anxious about presents. I think you have said during the holidays, suicide rates go sky high, don't they?
Yeah, if holidays can be a big trigger for suicide, and a lot of that's from the loneliness and the isolation, and people feel so isolated. So, you know, definitely, and people worry about asking someone if they're feeling suicidal and that they'll put it in their head. But, you know, definitely check in with people if they're depressed, you know, check in with them.
Let me ask you, this is probably a sexist question.
Okay.
As a woman, do you feel more pressure on you during, let's say, Thanksgiving? Because usually it's the woman that cooks everything and puts it all together. Yeah. Do you feel that?
Yeah, I'm one of the cooks of our group, but they consider us the highest level. So they called us last week to help make the menu and everything. And I'm under a little pressure to have the best stuff. But I asked them what they wanted. I gave them a huge menu to pick from, and they picked the two things I made for last year. So I am under pressure to get the right mushrooms. I'm pressured to go out and get the right stuff and not wait till the last minute and have everything done. But I have the bride and the maid of honor going to help me. And we're all sober, so what could be bad?
Yeah, Mark, let me ask you, are you cooking anything?
Well, Gary, I am so glad, and I got to tell you, in my life, I've never been in charge of cooking a turkey.
I wouldn't know how to do it.
Yeah, could you imagine, you know, all your families lined up, you know, all sitting at the table, and you burn the turkey?
No, I got one. Linda, yeah. I could see Mark. He has 16 people there, and he buys a five-pound turkey.
Right.
Very possible. And don't you have to stick something in it to make sure,
thermometer.
It's like there's a lot to cooking.
There's a lot
to. All
right, listen, we got to take another break. When we come back, we'll continue this conversation.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
When you look into the mirror, is your addiction staring back at you? Too many times, that answer is yes. At Gaudenzia, we see you differently. We see you as a whole person, healthy and at peace, living beyond the stranglehold of drugs or alcohol. At Gaudenzia, we see a pathway with tools you can use to lead you to recovering the life you want to live, recovering the life you want to share with the family who loves you. At Gaudenzia, we see hope and believe with the effective treatment we can offer designed uniquely for you within reach of where you are standing, you'll look into the mirror and see the potential for the fulfilling life that is in you. This time, you'll find your hope at Gaudenzia. It's spelled G-A-U-D-E-N-Z-I-A. Call 833-976-4357. Again, it's 833-976-4357. Begin to recover your life through treatment at Gaudenzia today. Begin today.
What's happening? Brandon Novak here from Those Movies Jack Zor, author of that addiction memoir, Dream Seller. Do me a favor and tune into Clean and Sober Radio with Gary Hendler.
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Clean and Sober Radio. I'm Gary Hendler with Mark Sigmund, Linda E., is here, and we're talking about what are you going to do to be careful during the holiday season. We got some more people watching us. I do want to mention them on the show. Carl Passanisi.
Sounds right to me.
I do all right?
Yeah.
All right. John Logue, who just wrote here. You guys and gal, wonderful show as always. Jim Petrowski is watching.
Our buddy.
You know, we don't talk enough about Jim Petrowski. I'm serious. He is, you know, he started this with me pretty much. And, you know, he's the one that gets us guests a lot of times. He has been in sobriety for a very, very long time. And he's just one of these guys that is a great guy.
I mean, the guy does service every single day of his life. He's trying to help the newcomer,
you know,
and he's just an amazing guy. And he's probably like, why are you guys talking about me on here? You
know what I mean?
He's sitting here. He's like,
could call in. Jim, you could call in.
Yeah, Jim.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, or my buddy Mike could call in.
Hey, Mike Brill is also watching.
Namaste.
Gentlemen, miracle workers. Judge Christopher R. Mattox is watching. Hey, Judge.
Hello, Judge. We try to get brownie points with the judges.
All the
just
time.
Just in case.
We need it.
Know? Hey, Gary, I got a question for you because you put me on blast.
About what?
On blast.
What's that mean?
Gary was asking if I ever have to cook something on Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
And I just want to.
What's blast? What's that mean?
That means like you throw you under the bus in front of everybody that's listening.
All right.
Do you cook on Thanksgiving? Turkeys.
I would like to say I do.
You'd like to say.
But I don't. I wouldn't know how.
This is totally predictable. I should have known.
First of all, it comes in a thing where you got to take, Linda, you know, like a wrap off of it. And this. And then you got to put your hand in there.
Pull all that stuff out of there. Well, my dad used to make
it's an all-day thing, too.
This soup where they would take giblets and they'd make this soup. And there were hearts in there and all that. You know, it was really, 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 really disturbing. Really disturbing. You know, It looks like he's calling back.
All right. Well, why don't we get this guy?
It's my buddy.
Yeah, Mike Brill's on the line.
Hi, Mike.
Welcome to Clean and Sober, Mike.
Hello, Mike.
Hey, Mark.
How are you?
Good. Wanted to talk about the holidays.
Oh, great. Tell us.
That's exactly what we want.
Yep.
Yeah.
What do you do? Mike, let me ask something. What do you do for the holidays to protect yourself? And what does, is somebody else in your family who does stuff to protect you?
That's a great question. First of all, thank you, everyone, gentlemen, for the great work that you do. I remember in early sobriety that whether it was a holiday, but especially the holidays, you know, when I started getting invited back to those special moments that literally some years I wasn't allowed to be a part of.
Right.
And I remember, you know, in early sobriety being invited back for the Thanksgivings and the New Year's and the Christmases and even my nieces and nephews' birthdays. And my one brother lived in Bethlehem. My other brother lived in Doylestown. And you know, I accepted their invitation. But before I went there, I would always go to a meeting to earn the right to walk through that door and celebrate that gift of family and that gift of life and the holidays. So, you know, it was one thing to be brought back into the world. And you know, it wasn't about the drink and the drug all the time. For me, it was, you know, I called myself a piece of doo-doo. I'll keep it clean.
Good, thank you.
I called myself a piece of doo-doo for, you know, the last 2 years of my addiction. And, you know, that didn't stop because I put down a drink and a drug. It took a lot of hard work and people talking to me and taking advice. So, you know, getting invites to holidays, it wasn't about that still. I didn't feel worthy of it.
Right.
1, 2, 3, 4 years in. Well, you know, I'm 20 years in now and I still, you know, get invited to Christmas Eve and it still doesn't fall to the wayside on my heart and soul. And what I do is I try to earn it. I try to earn it and go to a meeting to say, here, this is my entrance fee. Because after all, sobriety brought me to this back to this family and back to this holiday.
Yeah, it's an interesting time when you feel good enough to go back into the situation, your family's events. Because, you know, as Mike said, you know, such low esteem and when you're using and how are people going to respond when they see you? Like, hey, where you been? You know, I mean, all that kind of stuff had happened to me. So it's a difficult situation, you know?
Yeah.
So,
I think my family was very, very conscious of, and they were very conscious and aware. You know, I don't remember any, you know, without the alcohol, but but they were very, very conscious and aware of my situation. And I think that, you know, it was a mutual embracement. You know, they embraced, you know, that's what kept me coming around is that they embraced my journey. Probably more than I did in the early years, you know, sometimes with the wreckage of my past and the thoughts and the demons that I carried with me in early sobriety had me walking on eggshells,
sure.
You know, when am I going to fall off? You know what I mean? Like even in my own mind, I was my worst own critic and often thought the worst, like, I didn't trust myself for many years. So, I think they embraced my journey and you know, I think they were very careful in acknowledging my journey and my accomplishments because it's such a delicate and crippling disease that people know what's going on and the stigma and the discrimination of it all. And success is not rare anymore. And that's the best thing I tell my family is like, I saw a meme today and somebody said, thanks for making sobriety cool. And that's how it should be perceived. It should be the road that's more traveled these days. And it should be acknowledged as a lifestyle. And it should be acknowledged as a very, very good, healthy lifestyle.
Well, it seems that you have a lot of support from your family, which is very helpful. And, you know, I'm just wondering, as you were speaking, I just thought of something. The person in the family who is not in recovery, who has their family member or friend come over who is in recovery, you would think that the homeowner or whatever you want to call them would be relieved that their loved one is now in recovery and would want to do everything possible to to help that person and not to put out temptations and stuff like that to them. Just a relief. I mean, I know that in my own family. The relief, and Linda, I know you do too. The relief of having a family member finally get it should be enough for someone to say, "I'm not putting booze in the house when these people are here." But you know, people don't think like that.
Yeah, and especially if there's a lot of fellow alcoholics in the family,
yes,
right?
And there always are.
Yes, yes, and they can't see the problem themselves with themselves, and they can't see it in the other person.
Right, right.
You know, so, and Mike has a really interesting thing. Mike, what do you do as your side thing? Can you tell us about that a little bit? Not your normal.
Yeah, without a doubt, and that's very you know, I just always say, I always say to people that the greatest things in life are earned, and I'm going to keep the spirit of my Uncle Bill Patton alive. And I remember as a young teenager and a young adult, he'd come up, he had this awesome character trait of coming up to the young people, and he'd come up to me every Christmas party or wedding or whatever it was, and how you doing, son? And I'd give him my laundry list of things that were going on and the complaints that I had. And God bless his soul, he's a World War II veteran and passed away some years ago. And he turned to me without hesitation and he'd say, "Well, son, if it was easy, how great would the outcome be?" And it didn't mean a thing to me. So, you know, how great would the outcome be? So I took a year off in 2003 into 2004, my first year. And I blamed the guitar. I blamed music. And I blamed that beautiful thing. But I attached my addiction and my alcoholism to this music and this guitar. And it took me a long time to find myself. And, you know, through sobriety and the program and a huge process of change, I was able to pick that guitar back up after a year. And since then, as a matter of fact, just about a year and a half ago, I announced that I played my 1,000th show. Behind the microphone on stage. So I play the guitar and sing for people on the weekends.
Nice.
Different coffee shops, bars, weddings. I do all kinds of family life events. But it has been the one constant part of, you know, it's something special to have that gift and to hone it and then to get behind that microphone and realize that it's not about you. And what I did is my music, as I started playing again in early sobriety, and you all know where this came from, I realized that I had to give it away to keep it. And that's my philosophy. Every time I put the guitar over my shoulders and in front of that microphone, you know, I'm off tonight. I have 2 gigs tomorrow and I'll get behind that microphone. And it's not about me. I lost my selfishness, you know, in a good way. And that's what music is. It's for other people. And I'm so grateful to provide that every weekend.
What, Mike, was it hard after you got sober? Because we've asked a lot of, I'm not saying you're not famous, but a lot of famous guys, what was it like the first time you got on stage without being drugged up? I mean, was that frightening?
It was a little scary, when you guys recently had that musician from New York on, I was the one who asked him about early sobriety because I always like to get more philosophies and more practices under my belt. When I went out for the first time, I'm going to tell you, there was a place in Northeast Philadelphia called the Coffee Connection. And Coffee Connection, and then it became Espresso Yourself. And really, that place was my savior. It was where I learned how to talk to people, but it's also where I learned how to play the guitar and get on stage and be in front of people. So it was very, very much a beautiful spot for people to go. I mean, we used to hang out there on Frankfurt Avenue till 1 o'clock in the morning and all day and just find your sociability and know you're in a safe space. But when I ventured out into the bars, Gary, I will tell you, I went to the ones that were owned or run by friends of mine. And in order for me to feel safe, they were so happy for me and they told me that whatever time you wanted, if you wanted an earlier time, I was nervous. I still get nervous because my nervousness is my light switch to turn my spirituality on and know that I'm in there for a reason. So
there's a reason that I'm there, but in the early sobriety, I wouldn't go without other people, friends of mine, going with me.
That makes
whether
sense.
They were in the program or not, these people respected, they were happy for me because they knew I was dying while I was out there.
Makes sense. That's great. So what time's dinner? What are you doing for dinner? Seriously, where are you going?
I don't even know what I'm going for. I don't have any plans. I'm actually off from music tonight, so I'm a little bit confused.
Well, what we're going to do is, before the show's over, we're going to give Mark's home address. So,
yeah, Mike, you're more than welcome to come over, man.
Hey, Mark.
I'll bring my guitar.
Yeah, there you go.
He plays, I mean, he is such a good guitarist, too.
Really?
Yeah, and he plays my style of music. He plays a lot of the Grateful Dead.
Does he?
Well, you play all kinds of stuff, Mike, don't you?
Yeah, no. I always say I have 7 decades. I have 7 decades of material and 1,200 songs I can play. So it keeps it fresh for me.
That's beautiful. Hey, Michael, thank you so much. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, Mike.
And we really appreciate you supporting us. That's for sure.
Yes, without a doubt. Thank you. Keep the miracles flowing on Fridays. I appreciate you guys so much, and blessings to you and yours in the holiday season, everyone out there.
Back at you.
You're the man.
Thank you.
See ya.
James Dunn is watching. He's a very interesting guy.
He's an amazing guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's an amazing guy, and, you know, it's just very spiritual, and you know, it's just a testament to recovery. Here he is out playing, you know, doing what he loves, sober.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
Linda, I don't know if you can. I mean, when I was getting, you know, whatever I was getting, I could do a lot of things. And then early on in sobriety, if I didn't have pills in me, I couldn't do it. I'd be scared to death.
And to get on stage, you know, and he's so into it. You know, he just got this new Martin guitar.
Mm-hmm.
He's just like that's like his lifeline, music.
Great. Yeah, music's, you know, very important.
Yeah, it really is. And a lot of us came in thinking like, oh, well, you won't be able to enjoy music anymore because we're not high, right?
Linda, what music do you like? I don't think I ever asked you that. What,
really?
What years? What years?
Oh, 70s.
Oh, I
could predict
that.
Crosby, Stills, and Nash, 70s. I am.
Well, 70s of what?
Crosby, Stills, and Nash, like that.
Yeah.
You know.
That like, stuff?
Like, that kind of stuff. That's my speed.
Was music important to you?
But now I like country music.
Was music important to you in recovery?
No.
No?
No. It didn't matter.
Do you like Taylor Swift?
No.
Okay. Just checking.
No.
No.
No. Absolutely.
Because then Mark will want to know if you traveled with Taylor Swift.
I mean,
you got
mine.
Right, Mark.
When I was a travel agent, Gary's I did house. All kinds of stuff. One time I did a big meeting in Dallas and we flew Paul Anka in to be the entertainment. He was unbelievable. I've seen Frank Sinatra. Oh. Like, I like that old timey stuff.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Now I like country music, now that I'm really from North Carolina.
Oh, God.
But let's talk about families. Let's go back to that. You know,
go ahead.
Family members don't have a problem telling you, little Johnny's allergic to peanuts. Don't bring anything in the house. Don't bring anything to the classroom. My, you know, people are vegan. Please don't put meat. Please have something separate for them. And also the gluten-free, I have to have the gluten-free. And you can ask any waiter on the main line what this is like, that people ask for every single thing they want. So the people like old family I used to go to, they would ask, what are your allergies? What are your food preferences? Well, my preference is that you would stop decanting and drinking 2 cases of wine on Thanksgiving. That would be my desire.
That's a great point you're making, by
the
way.
It never occurred to them for them to not have wine when I'm coming.
That's very interesting.
So peanut allergy, you know, gluten-free, dairy-free, everything free, they will make you another dish. They'll be happy to cook you another dish. But it might be with wine.
And nobody will give you any flack for saying, I don't want dessert tonight.
Or I don't eat shellfish or whatever. Yeah. I mean, some of them are kosher and they don't like to eat at my house unless it's vegan. So, you know, why is it okay for food that we can say our preferences, but we can't say, but it's kind of like we're imposing on them. We're saying, please don't drink in front of us. But we're really saying, please care for us and don't trigger us, I think we're saying.
That's a good point.
We're not trying to tell you what to do. And for the people who are newly sober or sober, please just stay busy. Do anything. Go on Facebook. Go on the events page. Go to the dog show this weekend. Go to some open house at a shopping mall. Do anything.
Take a walk.
Go to the Thanksgiving Day parade. Take walks. Hang out with your sober friends. Go to meetings. Go to these alkathons at the clubhouses. There's so much to do. And don't feel guilty about your family because they'll be drinking and they'll forget all about you.
Hey, when we come back, Are any of us prepared to tell somebody when you get to their house, please don't push alcohol on me. I'm in recovery. Can you actually say that, or you're embarrassed to do it? I'd like to know. Feedback. We'll be back.
This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Diversity in the workplace is more than gender, ethnicity, and even age. It also means people in recovery. The Higher Calling Foundation works to end the stigma of substance use disorders in the workplace by helping those in recovery find jobs, get career counseling, and more. All things insurance doesn't cover, and all at no cost. And encouraging businesses to hire employees in recovery, because with the Great Resignation, there are jobs to be filled, and employees in recovery are an untapped demographic. It's mutually beneficial, and it's simply good business. Started by employment attorney in recovery Kevin Heyer, the Higher Calling Foundation believes everyone deserves a second chance and works to make that happen. And now, diversity in the workplace demands it. Visit HigherCalling.org. That's H-Y-E-R calling.org. And find out how we can help you.
When you look into the mirror, do you see your addiction to drugs or alcohol staring back at you? At Gaudenzia, in that mirror, we see you, healthy and at peace. At Gaudenzia, we see the tools you can use to recover the life you want to live. Hope is in the effective treatment we can offer, designed uniquely for you. Your hope is waiting at Gaudenzia. Call 833-976-4357. 833-976-4357. Through Gaudenzia, you can recover your life. Begin today.
Hi, this is Dion, the Wanderer. Listen to Clean and Sober Radio. You might hear something that'll change your life. Yo!
888-728-9941. This is Clean and Sober Radio.
Hey, we're back. You know, if you're listening or watching the show and either you or a loved one needs help, the 1-800-662-HELP number from the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline is a real number, 1-800-662-HELP. Somebody will answer that phone and do their best to guide you to treatment. And we always say on the show, Mark and I do, that that number, 1-800-662-HELP, should be on your refrigerator, because in time of crisis, there's no time to start looking in the, well, you don't use a phone book anymore, but looking online for treatment. And Mark, you have the other
number. Yeah, there's another number, and that is 988, and that's the suicide hotline. If you're feeling hopeless, you know, you're feeling depressed, you're having thoughts, call that number. I've talked to people. You get help. And again, not 911, but 988.
Yeah. Linda, thanks for reminding us about that. It's important.
Absolutely.
Natasha W. from Nashville, Tennessee. We have parties during the holiday season. Should we let our friends who are in recovery know that alcohol will be served?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? Yes.
And try not to have it in a non-labeled punch bowl. That's always a good idea. So, yeah. Sometimes it's in a punch bowl and people don't know that there's alcohol in it. It looks like punch.
I was at a
wedding.
And
I'm very careful. I don't do that anymore. I don't take from a punch bowl. I take from a closed bottle.
Well, I was at a wedding where they had, newly in recovery, they had two bowls and they weren't marked.
Wow.
I had one time I took a drink of something by accident, mm-hmm. you know, and I had, you know, I picked up the wrong drink and I was like, all of a sudden, I'm like, I had to go spit it out. It was really embarrassing.
Yeah.
Well,
you
know? No.
It was really,
yeah,
you know,
I guess it would be, but that's the stupidity of somebody who's throwing a party who does that.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, the cups look the same. And, you know, I always make a habit of smelling it.
Yes, I do
smelling
too.
It just to make sure, because we can pick up alcohol.
And then I hold on to my own glass. I don't put it down at a party.
Ron Lee Tung is watching.
Okay.
Does anybody know that new?
Ron Lee Tung.
Oh, hi.
New guy.
It sounds like he needs AA.
Well,
yeah,
he says, I need beer. Okay, take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Look, if that's really how he feels, I'm glad he mentioned it.
Absolutely.
Because that's, you know, part of recovery are things like that, that you still feel like you need a beer for whatever reason. You still need some Coke. You still need something. And it's scary for many people to say, I'm never going to touch it again. And don't. Some of us can do that. But if he needs a beer, I'd say get help.
And the big word is need, right? You know, so if, you know, if somebody just posts like, I feel like having a beer, I want a beer. But the word need a beer is a little bit more potent there.
Yeah, it's a stronger word, isn't it?
Stronger word.
Well, I hope he gets what he wants, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we were all there, right? And it's a Friday night, so you got some people out there that, you know.
And as you say all the time,
yeah,
Ron, play the tape till the end if you take a drink.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you have a history, right? If you have a history, and the saying, look at the whole record, not just what happened last week or last month, but what, you know, and if you look at the whole record and you have an alcohol problem, you're going to find pockets of problems for a long while, you know, they come up.
You know people that say, I want a beer, they're not necessarily addicts or alcoholics.
Yeah.
You know? Listen, I don't know what he is, but I'm glad he's watching the show.
Me too.
Absolutely.
Right?
You're very welcome here, Ron.
That's
Tongue.
Right. You
Ron
are
Tongue?
Welcome. Hey, Dan Campbell, how are you? Okay, I have another one real quick.
Yeah.
I actually come to you. Gina F. from Lexington, Kentucky, and I don't know the answer to this. Do you know if a toxicology report has been released on Matthew Perry?
Not yet.
Not yet.
I'm right on top of this. What's that guy from Saturday Night Live that his son died yesterday, the comedian?
Oh, I didn't hear about that.
Not he didn't die. Dana Carvey's son.
You're kidding.
32 years old.
Dana Carvey's son?
Son. Accidental OD. They knew what it was, apparently. The girlfriend called and had the paramedics come out. But it does take, for that extended, Matthew Perry, they said no meth, no fentanyl. So we know that it wasn't meth or fentanyl. There were no illegal drugs in the house, and the prescription drugs he had weren't really something you could OD on. So we're waiting for that toxicology, but I think they're going to find a different cause of death from him. He had some really serious other issues.
Well, his ex-wife, his ex-girlfriend said that any time he would get stoned, he would get into the tub.
Right.
Oh, really?
So I don't think we can...
We can't,
even if
we
he
can't
was
say.
Doped up, you can't... What can I say?
Those hot tubs can really mess with you, too, if you stay in them too long.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like if you stay in a hot tub too long, you're looking
you
at me
dizzy
crazy.
Or something?
I did
you
it.
Get dizzy? Last.
I did it before. I went...
You mean the heat? I mean...
Yes. I got sick. I used to go to this LA Fitness, and I went at first to work out. Then I would just go to sit in the hot tub. You know, and this one night I came home, like I was all red. My wife was like, what was wrong? And I said, I stayed in the hot tub too long, but you can get sick from it, you know? And imagine like if you have heart issues and things like that, it could definitely, and I think wasn't he real active? Then he got in the tub, he was playing
right
sports.
After
so, you know, it could have been a cardiovascular thing. I mean, he could have just died from that, you know?
You know, you can't blame people for relapse. It's part of the disease. And
correct.
I'm in a group on Facebook, a group of sober people, and every day somebody is saying, today's day one again. And people saying, hang in there. Look, it's great to say day one again. It's great to try again. If you relapse, don't be ashamed. Come right back. Come right back. Try again tomorrow. If you have a drink by accident over the holidays, something weird happens, come right back. Nobody's going to judge you.
I wouldn't say an accidental sip of is a slip.
Right, that too.
You know?
But I'm saying just, you know, it's okay for it to be day one. It's okay to relapse. It's part of the disease.
Yes, it is.
We're happy if you have many, many days, but we're also happy to have you back on day one.
Right.
Any day of the week, day one's a great day for us to help you.
Absolutely. And C. Ruger is watching. He says, good afternoon. So we're going to end the show. Thanks, everybody who participated. And thanks, everybody who was watching or listening. And remember, if you or a loved one is struggling with addiction, help is available. Please call 1-800-662-HELP. And to get Clean and Sober Radio on your local radio station, reach out to us at cleanandsoberbroadcasting.com and tell us what city you are in and what station you would like us to be broadcasting from. For Clean and Sober Radio, I'm Gary Hendler.
I'm Mark Sigmund.
Thank you for joining us. Thanks for all the support, and have a great week and weekend. And Linda, thanks for coming in.
Anytime.
Tyler, thanks, buddy. Brad, thank you. We'll see you. Uber rain and
the dust away.
I'd like to say thank you on behalf of the group and ourselves. I hope we pass the audition.